Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday.
I'm so sorry. Gosh. One day I'll learn how radio works. Lord.
Joe had his little had the surround sound going. I was like, I hear myself.
Right.
I sound good, but I hear myself.
Surround sound's one way to put it.
We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, as we are every Thursday. Just our pal Todd Rodemel. Appreciate them for having us here. Always a pleasure to be here. And, of course, our show is presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. And, Joe, it is finally here, the NFL Week 1. It kicks off tonight between the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs and Titans legend Derrick Henry and the Baltimore Ravens.
It's going to be
will hit fans tonight. It'll finally sink in tonight.
Well, especially if he has a massive football game in some shape, form, or fashion, seeing him out there running around. Yeah, it will. But, you know, good for Derrick Henry. He's going to get to chase a Super Bowl, which is something he would never get to do had he stayed here, because the Titans team is so far away from getting to the Super Bowl. So, good for Derrick Henry, man.
Yeah, so it'll be a fun one to watch. We have a packed show today. We're not only live at Omni, but at 9:30, Adam Amin from Chicago, but Fox, NFL on Fox. He will be the play-by-play for the game on Sunday for Fox Sports. He's going to join us then. And then at 10:30, you know, each week on Willie and D-Mace, you hear Tim Hasselbeck. Well, Matt Hasselbeck is going to join us at 10:30 today. Really looking forward to talking to the former Titans.
Is that his brother?
It is, yes.
I didn't know that.
Really looking forward to talking to the former Titans quarterback, of course, now helping his brother at Innsworth High School is the OC, so we'll get Matt's thoughts on how that's been and also kind of look at Will Levis and the Titans, the NFL, as a whole. So really looking forward to that. We welcome your participation as well at 615-737-1025. But we got football for the next five nights, right? Tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, obviously, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, that is correct. No college football games tonight.
I like that.
Yeah,
get out of the way. Get out of the way. Yeah, no, that's cool. I like that. There's none at all. Usually there's like some smaller ones.
Well, nothing on the big big stage.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Tomorrow night, Dr. Crane, your SMU Mustangs take on BYU in the Acronym Bowl.
Yes, sir, they do.
The Acronym Bowl.
That'd be a lot of
fun. Tomorrow night you got Indiana, Western Illinois. as you like to say, BYU, SMU, and Duke Northwestern, the Brainiac Bowl.
Oh, it is the Brainiac Bowl. Oh, well done. You see Northwestern Stadium? Because they're getting it redone.
Yeah,
they're playing
in a
campus. It's like on Lake Michigan. It's very cool, very cool looking. It holds like 8,000 people or something. But it's really cool where they situated it.
Okay.
Not bad.
What schools are considered like the academic institutions that aren't Ivy League, like Duke, Northwestern, Vanderbilt,
Stanford, not Tennessee.
No. I'm being serious. I have somewhere I'm going with this.
There's probably one or two more.
Okay, let's say right. But those are big ones. The big four, probably, right?
Yeah.
Those four should be required. Like they should do a rotation of playing each other every year.
I could see that.
Like Vandy Northwestern, Vandy Duke, Vandy Stanford. It'll never happen. People, you know, will be like, you're dumb. That won't happen.
Right.
Shouldn't happen. But I think it should. I think it'd be cool.
I've been asked several times throughout my career, what's the worst football game I've ever seen, been at?
Yeah.
The 2008 Vanderbilt Duke game was the worst.
Oh, that was a bad
Duke
one.
Duke won, I think, 10-7.
Yeah.
They gave Cutcliffe the game ball afterwards because his DOC was McIntyre and Mike McIntyre because they beat Vandy.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was the worst football game.
Was that here?
It was here.
I think I went
10 to 7. 2008.
Because 2008, there was some magic in 2008 because they ended up going to the Music City Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
So I think Dad and I went to that game.
Terrible. That was it. So I do not want to see those
another
four
thing
play.
That I think should happen that'll never happen. Middle and Vandy should play every year.
Yeah, what's in it for Vandy though? That's the thing.
That's what's going to be asked.
Because when Middle beat them in like 01, 02, and 05, right through there, it did nothing.
Didn't they for have? Vandy. Didn't they have another one scheduled? And they
played in 15 or 16.
Franklin wouldn't play him.
No. It was and then Vandy beat him. Pretty bad.
Yeah. You know?
So I'm with you, man. I love those. That's why Middle shouldn't play TSU. Although I'd love to see it. What's in it for Middle? I mean, it goes down and down.
I get it. I mean, I get it. I know the why. I'm just saying I would love to see it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see Middle play Tennessee every year.
Would love it.
You know? I mean, it might have been 2008. Maybe it was 2009. I went to Neyland when Middle played there.
What year?
It was 08, 09, 10, somewhere in there.
They played in 12.
Maybe it was 12.
And then 02, because he lost to Dooley in 12.
It might have been 12.
Yeah.
But I went up there and had some friends there and watched them play. So, but we're up and running here on this Thursday. Justin says, and you can weigh in, 615-737-1025, our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. Justin says, I like it, Chase. They could fight for the golden bookworm.
They could do that, man.
That could be good. What do you think about tonight? I mean, we just talked about Derrick Henry, but, you know, does Kansas City pick up where they left off, or does Baltimore buy into the hype that everybody has for them and take care of business tonight?
Didn't Detroit roll in there last year and beat Kansas City on Thursday night?
Yes.
And it was a great game, and Detroit kind of pushed them around. I see the same thing tonight with Baltimore.
I think Baltimore wins tonight.
Baltimore establishes their kind of dominance in the American Football Conference, and they win tonight. Now, with that being said, Kansas City probably wins by 30. But
nah, I don't think so. I mean, Kansas City won notoriously kind of start slow, and Baltimore's got something to prove. But Baltimore has more to prove than Kansas City does. Kansas City's won back-to-back Super Bowls. So Baltimore is getting three tonight. Kansas City's a three-point favorite at home.
Okay.
But it looks like a lot of the money's going on Baltimore.
All right. Well, I still to me, that doesn't sway me in who wins on the game. But I hate you all who get to bet, and I don't. I really do. That drives me crazy. But okay,
what do you think about this? The over-under is 46.5.
Give me the under.
I would take the under tonight, too.
But this is a big game for Baltimore because they know this is it, right? I mean, they're all in. Baltimore's all in now to win the Super Bowl. So how are you doing? I mean, I know it's the first game of the year. How are you going to play against Kansas City, who's the two-time defending champion and who's on a mission of their own? I don't know. I think Baltimore, maybe I think this could be their year.
I think them going for Derrick Henry is, you know, you're going to have people around the league going like, okay, that's not that big of a move. That was their missing piece, I think.
Oh, yeah. Wait until he starts running.
Right. He starts running. You have Lamar. You know, who are you going to defend, Lamar or Derek, when running the football? I mean, they should be the best running team in the league.
Right, right. I totally agree.
So I agree. I mean, I think this is put up or shut up time for Baltimore. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're going to have some people that are going to pick Kansas City just because they want to be cool and pick the three-peat.
Yep.
I don't see it happening.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I've learned not to count them out, but
now they got a purpose. So I know. They can do that. Which leads me into, Chase, our question of the day.
All right, hit me.
You don't know this, but I'm going to give it to you. What is the all-time best combo? Is it Mahomes to Kelsey? Is it Brooks and Dunn? Is it the number one combo at Wendy's, which I absolutely love? What do you think is the best combo of all time? Rice to Montana? Kobe and Shaq?
That's a good one.
What's the best combo of all? Because I tell you, Mahomes.
Aikman and Smith?
Not close.
I mean, they're in the conversation. The triplets.
I think you have to play off each other.
You don't think they played off each other?
I think Aikman handed the ball to Smith. That was it.
Yeah,
like,
but I mean,
Mahomes
they
to Kelsey is a whole world.
Okay, Steve and Eddie?
No. I don't think quarterback running back works. It's got to be.
It's still a combo.
It's not. But what did they? How did they complement each other? Steve handed the ball off.
Right, but like
Troy handed the ball off.
They complemented each other because either Eddie was going to run or Steve was going to make a pass or play with his legs.
It's got to be. To me, it's got to be moving forward. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be Mahomes. It can't be Mahomes and a running back. Mahomes Kelce. It's a combo. I mean, it's this. It's a winning combo.
Brady Moss. They had a really, really good year together.
But it wasn't long. It was only like 3 years.
There are so many rules with this damn question. Just let me take it wherever I want to take it.
What's wrong with Brooks and Dunn?
Brooks and Dunn's a great combo.
What about the Judds?
They're a fantastic combo.
What about Popeye's?
The number five at McDonald's, also a good one.
Popeye's number two is pretty good. In your opinion, what's the best combo of all time? Because we're going to see, they're going to talk about Mahomes and Kelce nonstop tonight. Nonstop. Yeah.
They're going to talk about Taylor Swift, too.
That's fine.
Can that be one, Kelce and Swift?
Sure. Yeah. Until they break up.
Did you see all that?
If that's true.
Oh, my gosh.
If that is true, this whole thing was a sham.
Well, of course it was.
It's a big publicity stunt. If that is true, if there was a leak about how Kelce and Swift are going to break up September 28th, and they've already, their publicists are working on this planned break, allegedly.
Yeah.
To say goodbye to each other. If that's the case, it's all a big sham. The whole last year, you got your hopes up for nothing.
I don't wish bad on anyone, but for the popcorn, like, this could be good.
What if you started dating Taylor Swift? Just at random, you met her at a party. She's like, I like sports talk. My dad still lives in Hendersonville.
He listens. He loves that Big Joe.
Yeah. And could you imagine dating her?
It'd probably be fun. I mean, look, I'm sure she's a wonderful person. I've heard she is. I'm sure she's great. But all the other stuff that comes with it would probably make it really difficult.
Well, I'm sure it would, yeah.
Like, it would be hard to do this job.
You think?
It would probably help. But at the same time, like,
walk in your office and she's sitting there in the corner.
Yeah, you think we could be sitting here without security right now?
No.
Well, that's the guy with Taylor.
He couldn't do that. I don't know.
What if she's seeing him?
It's like when we talked about this, when Joe DiMaggio married Marilyn Monroe. DiMaggio was the top athlete in the world. But Marilyn Monroe was the biggest star in the world. He couldn't handle that. He couldn't handle her fame. Right. So maybe she couldn't handle your being the boss man. Or maybe she likes that. Maybe she does like you being the boss man. Anyway, what's the best combo? I'm curious to see
We got a ton. We'll get to these coming up next. There are some good ones on our text line. 615-737-1025. What is the best combo in honor of Mahomes and Kelce kicking off the season tonight? We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Adam Amin at 9:30. Matt Hasselbeck at 10:30. Here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, 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 it's Bud Albert, and I'm going to sing a song for you.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, here on this Thursday. Is this still okay?
Yeah, it better be. Love Fat Albert, man. Yeah. Love that show.
We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your question of the day, which is, what is the best combo?
Ever.
Ever. We got some great answers on here. We'll get to our text line. Dr. Crane, what was yours?
Mine was the Wendy's chocolate frosty and sea salt fries. You can't go wrong.
Okay. That's a good one.
Been undefeated.
Sea salt fries.
Yeah, they advertised the sea salt fries.
Okay.
I think that's the best combination on planet Earth. You get the sweet, savory, along with the saltiness, which is great.
Contrary to what Big Joe thinks, because he's made about seven different rules for this, you can take this wherever you want. 6438 says, I know it was only like 1 year, but Brady and Moss was pretty unstoppable. Thank you.
But is the best combo of all time.
In their opinion, it is. Okay. Just Steve in Clarksville says Montana to Rice, PB&J. As well.
Oh, that's good. What about Beavis and Butthead?
That's a fair one. Maybe that's on here.
I can't believe you don't share my Brooks and Dunn love. That's an amazing
combo.
Who
said I didn't share your Brooks and Dunn love?
I brought it up and you just kind of rolled your eyes at me.
No, so they're great.
I cried
with America when they broke up and then rejoiced when they got back together.
I just needed a fist bump. That's all I wanted on that.
You know what? I how about we pull an audible? Brooks and Dunn the rest of the show instead of TV themes.
Okay.
Done.
All right.
Yeah, play some Brooks and Dunn.
Well, sports-wise, because, you know, like, again, we're going to hear a lot about Mahomes and Kelce all night long, and they are the greatest probably quarterback tight end combination ever. And I to me, Rice and Montana
You think they're the greatest quarterback tight end. Brady and Gronk might have something to say about that.
I'm going Kelce and Mahomes. That's a great one.
I'm going Brady and Gronk.
I'm going Mahomes and Kelce.
I'm going Brady and Gronk.
Okay.
Good. Hey, look, really good. Great. But –
Boy, they replay. I saw the replay. Was it last week of the 2000?
Brady and Gronk have four Super Bowls together?
They have 14, 16, 8, 3.
No.
Oh, in Tampa. Four.
Yeah.
That's right.
So you get in, and Mahomes and Kelce have three, so.
Okay. So you're basing this off Super Bowl wins.
No, I'm just – but that's a part of the conversation.
Okay.
No, not every – I mean, they have the – I think they have a touchdown right
Charles here. Haley has five – Come on.
Are you okay?
Can we shut the windows in here? Good Lord. Good loud. Charles Haley's got five Super Bowl rings. Is he the greatest defensive end of all time?
No, but it's a part of the conversation. It's not the whole conversation, but it's a part of it.
I agree.
5-3-5-3, Bradshaw and Stallworth.
Bradshaw and Stallworth?
That's what they said.
Pretty good. I wouldn't think of that, but sure.
2409, this is a good one. A beach and an ice-cold beer, peanut butter and jelly, Nashville and bachelorette parties.
I'll take all those except the bat. Well, I guess I won't take that. Come on now.
Michael and Madison, Brady and Gronk has the highest peak in my opinion.
Okay.
Al says Jordan and Pippen. And we've got another for Jordan and Pippen. Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, Pippen, that's pretty solid.
Won a lot of games together.
Six NBA titles.
2132, best combo of all time, chips and queso.
That's fantastic. Fantastic again. There we go.
Dylan, who texted in three times, so we'll read it. Johnny Unitas and Raymond Berry.
That's good.
That's good. Way
to go in the Wayback Machine there. I like that.
5531 with peanut butter and jelly. Marlon from Murfreesboro. What do you mean Taylor and Kelce were a sham? Next thing is Chase telling us that wrestling is fake. You'll never hear me. It's still real to me, damn it. you see that video, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. Mike on Kentucky Lake, goat combo, Lennon and McCartney. No one even close. That's a great one.
That is music-wise.
Yeah.
Brooks and Dunn.
Boom. 7655, Manning to Harrison, T. Martin to Peerless Price.
That was good in 98. I'll give you on that one. Manning to Harrison was pretty unstoppable at times.
Rex Road, please stop texting him. Best combo, Robbie and Rex Road. Wes in Clarksville, Ricky and Cal, shake and bake.
Have you seen Kelce? He doesn't look the same.
He's lost some weight.
A lot of weight. You go back to when Cyprian knocked him out in the playoff game to what it looks like now. He's lean and mean.
1382, Hall and Oates.
They don't talk anymore.
No, they broke up. 8955, Bert and Ernie.
What is Bert and Ernie's relationship? Can we figure that out one day?
I don't know. The Family Guy version is pretty funny. 2383, combo appetizer from O'Charley's, mozzarella wedges, potato skins, and chicken tenders.
Oh, that's a sampler. Sampler doesn't count for this.
I don't know if I should read this, but I'm going to. Dustin in Hopkinsville said, Pippen and Jordan, Kobe and Shaq, Charmin in my butt.
That's a pretty good combo.
And then Jared and Caroline. Oh, man.
That's good.
Man, these are jumping around all over the place. I'm trying to keep up with these. Now, what is this? 0247, peanut butter and bologna? I've never had that.
Oh, that is very interesting.
I like it.
I'm going to try that. I didn't do the peanut butter and banana for a long time, and it's so good.
Yeah. Joni and Chachi. Magic and Kareem.
Very underrated.
Left shoe and the right shoe.
Those are good.
Brad and Dixon, Hogan and the Macho Man. Oh, yeah.
Well, take this a step further. Who's right now in sports, what's the best combo? In sports right now.
Oh, right now it's probably Kelce Mahomes.
Okay. Is there a baseball combo that's really good? Like Aaron Judge, who like Giancarlo, does he still play for him?
He's not like he was.
Is there one in basketball?
Judge and Soto is up there. I'd say Judge and Soto.
Yeah, Judge and Soto could be up there.
I think Freddie Freeman and Ohtani are a good 1-2 punch.
We don't mention that name on the show.
Sorry, Ohtani? Just Ohtani.
No, Freddie Freeman.
You just did?
Yeah. No, we don't do that.
I don't know the baseball world. There's got to be a good combo up there.
Basketball? I mean, there's a few, probably. I mean,
who's Jason Tatum for the Celtics? Him and Luke Kornet? Good combo there. Both average 42 points a game.
I mean, Dr. Crane, who's the best combo in basketball right now?
That's a great
question. It was the Splash Brothers for a while. It was, you know, Shaq and Kobe, you know.
Who are the Splash Brothers?
I mean.
Steph Curry?
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say LeBron and AD, Anthony Davis. I'm not too, like, with the NBA. So, I mean, that's.
Well, who's Mookie Betts? Does he have, like, a
Ohtani and Freddie.
Batman Robin in this?
Yeah. Okay, I mean,
so maybe you can't do I guess
I'd say it's more of a trifecta. So much,
okay. So baseball is not so much of a combo sport as like a Mahomes to Kelce or Shaq and Kobe on those lines.
2399 2399 says any Georgia football player in a Dodge Charger.
Oh, we shouldn't laugh at that.
I know.
Yeah. By the way, you know who Georgia plays Saturday?
Who?
Tennessee Tech. Do you see Kirby's thing, his response? So they asked Tech about going down there and playing, and the Tech coach was like, my quarterback's injured, or half our team's injured, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And then told Kirby what the Tennessee Tech coach said, and Kirby's like, all right, well, does he still want his check?
That's actually a great response. 4086, Sonny and Cher.
Can't beat that. Not one Brooks and Dunn. Damn y'all, put Brooks and Dunn on that text line.
Randy, I can't read. You're right, I can't read yours on air. Go back and read it. Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger.
I knew Warren Buffett.
I don't know.
Charlie Munger, I don't know.
Jeremy says, Jared and the GM. Shout out to the GM. It's a good one. Ken Stabler, Dave Casper.
Love it.
It's the Wayback Machine.
Love it.
That was good.
That's the fumble.
Here's another one in the Wayback Machine from Steve. The Ernie and Bernie Show.
Beautiful. Might be the best combo. I might be missing something out in SEC basketball history. There might be one better, but maybe Shaq and Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was pretty good at LSU, but Ernie and Bernie was fantastic.
7655 Hockey, McDavid and Draisaitl. It's a pretty good one right now.
Who are the Penguins dudes?
Malkin and Crosby. Yep. Hawk and Animal, shout out to the Road Warriors. what a rush. some of these. Dustin and Hopkinsville. The coach for the Jags, I think he means Urban Meyer, and that girl that sat on his lap a couple of years back.
Oh, if you go back and look at that picture, Urban's face, he knew he was done for.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't fly back with the team.
No.
He stayed and partied in Cincinnati, wasn't it? Or somewhere. Columbus?
Columbus. 5103 says Chase and Big Joe. Thank you very much.
Is that your mom? That's so sweet. That's not Thank my you, mom. Carol.
That is not her. Coming up next, we'll talk to Adam Amin. He is going to be on the call for Fox Sports for the Titans and the Bears on Sunday. We'll get his thoughts on that here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The man played a steel guitar. Hang it up a little, let's rock. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Titans and Bears kick off the season this Sunday at Soldier Field in Chicago. And the man that will be on the call for Fox Sports, Adam Amin, joins us now here on the program. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Doing all right, boys. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. I don't know about you. I mean, you're there in Chicago. You've done the preseason. You're living the hype of the Caleb Williams hype train. I'm ready to just kick this thing off and play some football. I don't know about you, though.
Yeah, I think especially when we get to today, right? Like today feels like a different morning because it's time, right? It's real. It's football. It's football season finally for real now. So I think when we get to this weekend and this point of the weekend, right before we get to Sunday, now it starts to feel real. I've heard a lot about it from, you know, some of the players. We see the media coverage here in Chicago and how I think the guys are kind of tired of the hype as well. I think they just want to play. I'm sure the Titans feel the exact same thing. Tired of the preseason, tired of the speculation about everything, and kind of, you know, let's put toe to leather and kind of get back at it. So I'm excited for the weekend. This is one of the best weekends of the year. I know you guys probably feel the same way. So thrilled that we're finally here.
So you got to see him play in the preseason and all of that. And, you know, I was actually in Chicago during his first preseason game watching from a bar, and you would have thought it was a Super Bowl. Everybody was so excited. But he didn't play a whole lot. Did you see enough to kind of make you think, okay, he's ready, he's still a rookie, he's going to have those, you know, those rookie moments in the NFL, but did you see enough?
I mean, enough to feel like he's got a command of the offense and enough to, you know, feel like, well, this is the guy. Here we go, right? I think it's an important distinction that you just made that he's going to struggle at some point. When it's going to happen, I think, is going to be interesting to see how fans react to it. Because, you know, I've been asked this question a lot the last couple of days, just what's the vibe like? What's the buzz like? And, yeah, a few weeks ago when the preseason was starting up, I was thinking, like, man, I'm 37. They've never won a championship in my lifetime. I was born after Super Bowl 20, you know, about 10, 11 months after Super Bowl 20. And in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever felt the city have this type of buzz for the Bears. And I've experienced it a little bit here and there, you know, when Jay Cutler, you know, in some ways Nashville zone. I know he's a Santa Claus, Indiana guy, but, you know, Vanderbilt zone. I, when Cutler was in Chicago and he was putting up at least consistent numbers, you know, for a few seasons, there wasn't that much hype built around it. It was just, well, the defense, you know, they lived off the defense. Same thing in 2018 with Mitch Trubisky. He had some flashes. He was a Pro Bowler alternate that year, but the defense is what made that team run. This has been a monsters of the Midway City forever, right, since the mid-'80s. So quarterback play has never really garnered a whole lot of hype. And in the preseason, I felt like it was very high. Like, man, this is it. This is the guy. I think as we get closer to kickoff on Sunday, I'm starting to get a little bit more of a sense of cautious optimism in Chicago rather than just all out, all in. And there are definitely people, especially, you know, guys in media that are all in on it. And I don't disparage that at all. If you want to be all in on it, you should be. You should lean into, you know, the rare excitement that you get coming out of the gate. But I think I'm starting to hear a little bit more cautiousness from fans because of the track record of Chicago quarterback play over the last 40 years in the broad picture, and I would say in more of the micro picture over the last 10 years, right? Lack of consistency, a lot of one step forward, one step back play from quarterbacks that have had flashes of brilliance, flashes of consistency, but not enough of it. And Williams, to me, in the 43 snaps that we did see, but also what we've seen in training camp, what we saw in practice, what you probably watched if you flipped on Hard Knocks, was a guy who has command, who has understanding, who has confidence, almost, one of my colleagues put it, an attractive level of arrogance that you want from a, you know, from your guy at that position, from the person that's going to be in charge of the ball more than anybody else in your team. So when he struggles, and he will, you know, he's missed some reads, had some off-target passes, got away with a few during the preseason, that's fine. When he makes some mistakes, like he will, because, like you guys said, he's a rookie. Every rookie goes through some growing pains. What is the fan reaction going to be? And I think that's why I've started to sense a little bit more cautiousness over the last couple of days, just because I think fans are remembering, like, hey, he's about to face an NFL defense. Every game he plays from here on out is going to be the toughest defense he's seen. And I really like Tennessee's frontline defense. I don't know where the depth is, but, man, I actually really like this defense. The starters on this unit, I think, are pretty good, and I don't think this is going to be a cakewalk like a lot of fans, I think, 3 weeks ago were thinking, right? It's like, oh, man, we're winning a Super Bowl. This guy's winning the MVP. Yeah, well, Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry and Arden Key and Samandre Sweat are waiting on the other side. So I think I understand the cautiousness, too.
Adam Amin is with us from Fox Sports.
Adam, by the way, the greatest Chicago Bears quarterback of all time is from Nashville, Mr. Bill Wade. So just a little Nashville awesome. Tie-in for you there.
Great pull. Great pull, my friend.
Yeah, although Jim McMahon's up there because he was crazy, but Bill Wade because he's from Nashville. I want to ask you this, Adam. I think there's more pressure on Caleb Williams because they're playing at home than on the road. Agree or disagree?
You know, I think that's a fair assessment. I just because I think the I don't know if it's going to be harder for him. I don't know if he's going to care one way or another. But I do think there is an added pressure in front of your home fans, for sure. They only got a small glimpse of him in the preseason because the Bears only played one home preseason game, and he played, I think, 19 or 20 snaps in that contest. So that was the lone time that the home fans got a chance to see him. So I think, you know, they're really jacked up to see him play on Sunday. So I think in that sense, there might be a little added pressure. But I liked what he said on Hard Knocks. Kerry Joseph, the quarterback coach, asked him, you know, how nervous are you on a scale from, you know, 1 to 10? And he's like, I don't get nervous. Now, again, I don't know how athletes, in particular high-level athletes, process those types of emotions and feelings, not being an elite-level athlete. So I'm not sure exactly how that works. But I like that, you know, he has that kind of swagger to him and has some confidence to him and walks in with that. And I think guys sense that. Matt Eberflus, the coach of the Bears, made a point to us when we talked with him in the preseason. He said, you know, as much as Caleb gets the hype and rightfully so, again, when you're the quarterback, you're going to have that. It's only compounded by being the number one pick. It's only compounded by having a good resume in college. All that being said, everybody else still has to play well. You know, it's still the ultimate team sport, and everybody still has to, you know, step up and level up their game as well. The offensive line has to play well. DeAndre Swift, I think, is the next most important offensive player for the Bears this season. Guy they brought over from, you know, after a Pro Bowl season in Philly last year, was a good Detroit Lion for a few seasons. His play is exceptionally important. What Nate Davis, the former Titan, looks like health-wise over the course of the season is incredibly important. What this, you know, somewhat revamped interior of the offensive line looks like is very, very important. Everybody else has to play well, too. It can't just be, you know, Caleb Williams trying to carry a team as a rookie, despite being named the first rookie quarterback captain in Bears history. There's still more pressure on the unit than there is just on Caleb Williams. And I think being at home, maybe for the defense, that'll help him out a little bit, too.
My goodness, that's crazy. Think about how he's a captain and a rookie and has never taken a snap in the National Football League. All right, if we talk to you at 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, what would be the best-case scenario for the Chicago Bears? What would be the worst-case scenario for the Chicago Bears?
I think a two-turnover, two-interception day, you know, is probably the most realistic worst-case scenario for the Bears just because they're looking at Caleb Williams as a guy who, you know, you can't turn the ball over, obviously, at this level if you want to win games consistently. So I think that's probably the worst-case scenario where he's turned the ball over. Tennessee has taken advantage of that and, you know, won by probably double digits. I think best-case scenario, he has a clean day. They win the game. They run for, you know, 130, 140, 150 yards as a team and have some balance. And, you know, if Williams throws three touchdown passes, then he gets one to each of the three wide receivers. I think that's probably like the high end of like the positive thinking for a Bears fan right now. I think those are kind of the realistic ends of the spectrum.
We're talking to Adam Amin from Fox Sports. So when you have been doing your prep for this and you watch Will Levis, I know he only had a handful of games, nine games last year. He's learning a new offense. They're looking for him to take big strides, and that's something that, you know, he talked about yesterday. What do you see from the Titans QB?
Mechanically, you know, there has to be some improvement, and I think we've heard some things about him in the preseason where he's worked on a lot of mechanical stuff, whether it's footwork, whether it's arm slot, some of the timing. Listen, this offense, you know, the similarities of these two teams and where they're coming in, I think it would be surprising to some people because I don't think people are appreciating the situation that the Titans are in, right? New head coach, new play caller. It's not a new quarterback, but essentially, you know, still a very, very, very young quarterback who doesn't have a full season of snaps under his belt yet. and new running back, a trio of wide receivers that I think are highly touted and rightfully so, and an offensive line that has some question marks about it, but is expected to be better. You know, I'm sure Bill Callahan is going to have a say in that too. The similarities between these two teams are striking, and I think Will Levis is in a very similar circumstance. He's got weapons around him, and he's got support in Tony Pollard, you know, like the Bears have with DeAndre Swift. I think he needs to be more accurate. He needs to I'm not saying he's got to throw for 30 touchdown passes this year for this team to be good, but he can't turn the ball over at the rate he was turning it over last year in those last, you know, handful of starts. And he can't be as inaccurate as he was. NFL average is 65% completion rate. He was at 58. That is far too low, you know, far too low of a percentage. That's far too big of a gap right now for this team to be successful in the passing game, especially if Pollard and Spears aren't getting a lot of traction on first and second down, and putting Will and Hopkins and Boyd and these guys into third and long situations. He's got to be more accurate. And if he is, I think this offense is going to be fine. You know, again, same deal. I don't know where the depth is. I know, you know, the receiving core doesn't go super, super deep, but they've got a lot of snaps as long as Burks is healthy. And, you know, Westbrook Ikhine has played a lot of football the last couple of years because of the lack of depth at wide receiver. I think he's got weapons. I think he's got options. I think, you know, taking a profit is never a bad thing. Taking the check down to Spears or Pollard or finding a release in Okonkwo, I don't think these are bad things to do. I know he wants to test the ball downfield. I know he wants to find Hopkins. I know he wants to get Tyler Boyd involved. I know he's trying to get Burks the ball. I know he wants Calvin Ridley to feel comfortable, a guy who I think is a pretty decent deep ball threat too. But I think as long as Will is taking a profit, as long as he's constantly moving the ball forward, staying ahead of the chains, as the folks like to say, I think this offense is going to be in much better shape than people realize. I would love to hear what you guys, because the Bears are going to see three AFC South teams right out of the gate in Tennessee, Houston, and Indianapolis, and they'll see Jacksonville and London later. I think this division's a little bit more wide open than people are giving a thought for it. I think everyone's just saying, well, Houston's clearly the best team, and they're probably right. But I would like to know what you guys think just in terms of what the viewpoint of the division is in the AFC South.
I think you said it. I mean, I think it's people have viewed it as it wasn't very good, and now I think it's a little bit more of a there could be something there. But you know, for us, it's kind of a wait and see. I mean, Houston's the one that everybody's going to be picking because Stroud had an amazing rookie year. They look like they're the strongest. Can Jacksonville take a bounce back after having a good year? You know, Trevor Lawrence is getting paid like a top quarterback. Can he play like a top quarterback? And then I think the biggest question marks are probably Indy and here in Tennessee. You mentioned the Titans offense. We all think it on paper, it looks like it's going to be good, but you said it, how deep is it? And I think that Indy might be asking themselves the same thing, and can Anthony Richardson stay healthy? So that's kind of the view that we have of that division.
That seems right to me. I feel like it's more wide open than people realize. It's hard to replicate some of the things that Houston did defensively year over year. But, again, I have a lot of respect for that defense. I think everybody in the division does. But I have questions about Indianapolis. I have questions about Jacksonville on both sides of the ball. And, again, hard to recreate some of the things that Houston did last year. So I don't think there's any reason that Tennessee can't be competitive for the division title. I don't think they would be a wild card team. I don't think a wild card will come out of the AFC South this season. I think there's you know, too much jockeying for those, you know, 6 and 7 spots among some of the other teams in the other divisions. But I feel like they could be. There's no reason that Tennessee can't be competitive for a division title if you win these divisional games, because I think it's a lot more wide open than people realize.
Sorry about that. You've called some amazing things. I'm just reading here now that you called the Nathan's hot dog eating contest one year. How do you prepare to call that? I think that's fantastic.
You know what's cool? I watched a little bit of that Netflix thing with Chestnut and Kobayashi, and I was like, where was my phone call? I would have done this. I definitely would have done this. It was a great experience, man. It was a lot of fun. I did it for 2 summers, 18 and 19, and I prepped it the same way, like I kind of prep like an NBA game or something. You know, you have essentially player profiles you know, vitals, where are they from? And I've always tried to think of what's the headline for every competitor. So, you know, for Joey Chestnut, he was gunning for a world record. He had won, I think when I first started, he had already won a 10 or 11 Nathan Feltz at that point. So, you know, that's the headline, obviously. Then you give a little bit of context. Well, he's got, you know, 40-some-odd world records when it comes to major league eating. And, by the way, major league eating is a real governing body of competitive eating. So they took good care to keep track of stats and records and things of that nature. So you have some context. And then you try to have some anecdotal stuff. Joey Chestnut was, you know, Bay Area guy, was from San Jose. I know he's originally from Kentucky. But, you know, grew up in San Jose, was a construction foreman for a while, got into competitive eating on the Lark, and it turned out he was pretty good at it. Then there's the thing with Kobayashi where they kind of become rivals against one another. Kobayashi kind of falls off and then leaves, you know, the governing body of the sport. And, you know, we prepped it the same way that we would with any other competitor in any other sport. What's the headline? What's some context? And what's some anecdotal material that might connect you emotionally to him? And then you take it from there, right? 10 minutes of grueling battle. You introduce some of the competitors in the first few minutes. You know, obviously Chestnut was the dominant force in it, so you get into more of the deep dive story in the middle couple minutes, and then as you get to those final 2 or 3 minutes of the competition, you're locking in on whether or not he's going to pass this world record. And the two times that we had him, you know, he set a new world record. He hit 70 both times that we had him. And, God, I think he's pumped it up to like 80 or 83 or something like that at this point.
Wow. That's awesome.
Adam, before we let you go,
I feel very good that I was able to rattle all that off having not covered competitive eating in the last 5 years.
Because you're a pro, Adam.
It was pretty impressive. Before we let you go, you're doing the game with Mark Sanchez on Sunday. Derek Mason, the receiver, does our midday show and played with Mark for a little bit with the Jets. And he always talks about that at the beginning of the season, Mark bought all the receivers' robes. And he still has it to this day. So could you please pass on to Mark that D-May says thank you for the robe?
Absolutely. Well, that's a wonderful thing to hear. And I know he's going to get a real kick out of that, man. That's really awesome to hear that from you guys. But he'll love that. I'm excited because the whole crew is getting into town today. And I'm having everybody over for dinner. And we're going to watch the Ravens-Chiefs game and, you know, have some food and have some drinks and hang out at the house before we kind of kick this thing off this weekend. So I'll get a chance to see him tonight, and I'll pass that along. I'm sure he's really going to appreciate that.
Awesome. Adam, thanks so much for doing this. We look forward to listening to your call on Sunday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Adam Amin, Fox Sports, of course, based in Chicago as well, joining us here on the show. He and Mark Sanchez and Christina Pink will be on the call for the Titans and the Bears on Sunday on Fox Sports. We'll react to that. Got much more coming, including Matt Hasselbeck at 10:30. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's my favorite Brooks and Dunn song, for sure. Appreciate Adam Amin joining us on the program. Hey, tune in to 93.3 FM, Totally Hits, Totally Nashville, this Saturday as the Blue Raiders take on the Rebels of Ole Miss. Pregame at 1:45, kickoff at 3:15, Chip and Joe on the call. Coverage also available on the 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes today. Again, Matt Hasselbeck, former Titans quarterback, of course, Seahawks quarterback, going to join us at 10:30. He's now the OC at Innsworth High School with his brother, Tim. And so we look forward to talking to Matthew and getting his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL.
I know we have a quick segment here, but I'm going to give you the college football all-name skills team. You ready?
All-name skills team.
Yep.
Okay.
Quarterback, and I'm not sure where he plays. He plays at Louisiana Monroe. General Booty.
Okay. That's a great one.
These are real names.
Oh, I know.
Running back Montana, Tommy Running Rabbit.
That's a great name for a running back.
Fullback Iowa, of course. Rusty, I'm not reading his last name. Louisiana Tech receiver, DeColdis Crawford. Tulane wide receiver, Fat Watts. Kent State receiver, Dash Dorsey.
Nice.
Boise State tight end, Champion Johnson. tune in later on. We'll read the defense.
Okay.
As they go down.
There you go. That's good for sure. We'll come back in hour number two live at Kitchen Notes at Omni Nashville Hotel here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.